Turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 11. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 11. We have been studying the subject of discipleship, both in our Sunday school classes and in our morning worship service. The idea is to become a disciple of Christ. We call ourselves Christians. Are we disciples? That means followers, learners of Jesus Christ, people who have dedicated themselves. Now, the first week we talked about commitment. Do you remember what is this in front of us? I'll let y'all participate. A memorial, I think somebody said. Or maybe I was just dreaming. But a memorial. And we studied about the children of Israel and them crossing Jordan over into that promised land and the commitment that represented. They built a memorial for what God had done and the commitment that they had made to take the promised land. And so we built on the first Sunday, we built our memorial to serve as a continual reminder that life will never be the same, but instead that we have made a commitment that we're not going to give up for anything or anyone. Amen? And we continued on and studied about the authority of Christ. And, you know, if we're going to be disciples, if we're going to go and we're going to share the gospel message, we're going to have to understand who has the authority. It's Jesus that has the authority. He has the right, the authority to claim our lives. And he also has the authority or the power to back up what we're doing, to empower us. We can do nothing of ourselves, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I think last Sunday we talked about cost. You know, it costs to be a disciple. It's not always easy. Some people have the idea that everything just, when you're a Christian, when you're a disciple, everything just falls into place. Well, actually, the opposite is true. When you start to follow Jesus and start to dedicate yourself to Jesus, you better be ready and gird up your loins, as the Bible would put it, because Satan's coming after you. There's a cost. Sometimes we have to pay the price of discipleship. And today we're going to talk about change. That's right. I said change. We like change. Amen. All right. Sure we do. We're going to look today at Jesus as he sent out his disciples. We're going to pick up reading in verse 11, but understanding what Jesus is doing. He's sending out his disciples, sending them out to do the work, to spread the gospel. And he's told them, don't take with you extra coats, don't take with you spare shoes and extra money. He'll take care of all that. And now he's continuing in that line of thought. We're going to pick up in chapter 10 of Matthew, verse 11. Would you stand with me as we read from God's word? He's continuing to instruct them just before they go out. Verse 11 says, now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, then you depart from that house or city. Shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Brother Greg Long, would you lead our hearts in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That is, what, two amens on that one? Talked about change and, you know, didn't get a lot of amens there. And now, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know? That was an old saying from way back. I don't remember the first time that I ever heard that, but And I realize that grammatically that's not correct, okay? So I acknowledge that, and I try not to use the word ain't too much, okay? But there's a lot of wisdom in that phrase. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, if it's working fine, leave it alone. You don't fix, or you don't change a perfectly good tire, do you? A flat tire you would fix, but a good tire you would leave alone. If the car is running good, you don't overhaul the engine, do you? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, I want to present to you this morning that that mentality is a wise mentality, but it also carries with it another idea. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, but if it is broke, fix it. If it is broke, maybe that's what the message should be entitled, right? If it is broke, fix it. And today, that's my challenge to you, is to take a look, evaluate, consider where you are, what you're doing, consider your life, let's consider the church, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, let's fix it. Amen. That's where the change comes in. Okay? And we did start there in verse 11. This is a 6-point message. You like 6-point messages, right? 3 points. All right, we're going to keep her going. All right, 6 verses, 6 points. And we start here in verse 11, okay? And if we're going to be a disciple of Christ, one thing we're going to have to learn is to evaluate. And I want to look at verse 11 again. It says, now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. Seems very simple, doesn't it? But you know that word inquire doesn't quite carry the full meaning. Jesus is talking about going into a city and when he says inquire, he doesn't mean just ask, hey, can I stay at your house tonight? That word inquire means to examine or scrutinize, like you would interrogate someone, like you want to get to the bottom of something, okay? He says scrutinize and see who is worthy. Now that word worthy is also an interesting word. It doesn't mean deserving, okay? But it was a term that was used in weighing out things. And it meant to balance the scale. Okay? So what he's saying, here's the concept. When you come into a place, take special care, examine it, interrogate it, question it, take a hard look at it, scrutinize it, making sure that the effort that you put forth is going to balance the scales in result. Does that make sense? Okay? He's saying, literally, don't waste your time on things that are not going to balance out. You see, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, the first thing that we're going to have to be or consider is evaluating our lives, where we are, what we're doing, seeing if what we're doing is worthy of our time and our effort. And beloved, if it doesn't have eternal consequences, it's probably not worthy of a lot of time and effort. We have to be willing to answer the question or even ask the question, is it broke? Is it worthy of the effort that I'm putting into it? We put a lot of effort into a lot of things. You know, when I was raising kids, ball games were a lot more important to me then than they are now. Boy, I'd practice with my kids. I'd want them to be good and do good and, you know, and get out there and play hard and do hard. And listen, there's nothing wrong with ball games. But let me tell you something. The ball game's not going to change lives. Okay? So be careful how much emphasis you place on ball games with your children. Because it's not going to decide what kind of individual they're going to be. The only way that you're going to decide what kind of individual your child is going to be is by implanting in him or teaching him the Word of God. That's the part that's going to make a difference in his life. If you're going to make a difference in the lives of the people around you, you're going to have to consider your actions. what they do to make a difference. How are you sharing God's love? Who are you sharing God's love with? Are you a witness? Do you testify of the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ? First question today. Be bold enough to evaluate your life and decide if how you're spending your time is worthy or does the scales balance in result. Okay? And second point, make it an honest evaluation. Okay? Make it an honest evaluation. Read verse 12. He said, and when you go into a household, greet it. Now that says a lot. Okay? And the reason I say that says a lot, what he's saying, go into that household, interact, greet it, share with them, talk with them, find out about them, interact with them. You know what I'd do? If I went into a city, I'd look and I'd say, don't believe I want to stay with those people. Their house is a little run down looking to me. They're not quite as clean as I would like for them to be. That's just not a place. That's not the side of town I want to stay on. That's not what Jesus said. He says, salute them, greet them, get to know them, find out about them. Okay? Make an honest evaluation. As you evaluate, do not judge for yourself from the outside. You know? It's easy to look at stuff and say, I don't think we want to do that. I don't like that. Okay? What he's saying is get in there, get involved, take a look at what you're doing, take a look at what others are doing, and be honest, is it working? If it's not working, it's time to change. Amen? Now, I can apply that to the ministry of pastoring, to preaching. You can apply it to Sunday school classes. You can apply it to your home lives. You can apply it to your relationship. If it's not working, it's time for a change. Be honest and acknowledge it's not working. We get into the always done that rut, don't we? Why do we, you know, there are churches who start at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. You know why? Because they've always done that. There are churches who sing from the Red Baptist hymnal. I'm going to tell you what, you break that baby out, you don't even have to tell me a song number. Because I got every hymn in that book memorized. But it wouldn't change for anything. Why? Because they are so entrenched and they don't want to move. They're not willing to honestly evaluate, hey, how is our song service? You want to know what affects kids in a church? The song service. And when all you sing is 300-year-old songs, young people are usually not moved by it. I appreciate Brother Dale. He gives a good mix. Okay? I like the 300-year-old songs. Okay? I do. But I also like some of the newer stuff. And we do both of them. But see, there are people, there are churches who are so entrenched that they, we can't do the new stuff. Yes, yes, you can. Because when you honestly evaluate and you look out and you see that there are no younger people, something is not working. Amen? Something is not working. You got to be honest. You got to get involved. And listen, as I preach this, I want you to understand, I'm not saying that you look at it and you say, well, what I'm doing is not working, so I'll just quit. That's not, no. No. As last week I said, quitting's not an option. What do we need to do? We need to change what we're doing. We need to change our commitment. Number one, you got to evaluate. Number two, you got to evaluate honestly. Number three, you got to have peace. In verse 13, it said, if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If the house is worthy, if the scales balance, if it's worthy of your time, if it's worthy of your effort, if there are results, and results are not always numbers, okay? Results are spiritual growth too, okay? But if it's worthy, let your peace be upon it. Now this is worded kind of interesting, but it really actually gives the idea that when you decide, when you see that work, that ministry is worthy of your effort, you're going to have peace with it. Okay? There's just something about serving the Lord that is rewarding on the inside. Amen? I mean, there's just something about knowing you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, that there is a satisfaction, a peace, an assurance. Okay? And that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, I'm not saying we should be satisfied. Okay? I'm never satisfied. We could have 400 in Sunday school next Sunday morning, and guess how many I'd want the next week? 450. And then I'd want 500. You see, you never get satisfied, but I'm talking about that peace. Hey, I am where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm serving the Lord, and I know it, that God is in it because He's in me. Okay? When you evaluate, when you look and you're honest and you say, okay, this is where I need to be. This is what I need to be doing. When you forsake those things that aren't working in your life, whether they be distractions from the outside or distractions on the inside, or if what you're doing is just plain old not working, you know? It's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing, expecting a different result. You've heard that, okay? If it's not working, we got to change. But when you change and you just know on the inside, that God's in, there's a peace that passes understanding. You know, I've told you before numerous times how that I ran from the call for a long time. You know what I did not have? I did not have a peace during that whole time. But you know, when I finally said yes, yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Guess what? There was just a peace, an inner knowledge that God is in it, that God's got it under control. And listen, let me tell you something. There's a difference between peace and a calloused heart, okay? You see, we can get a calloused heart and just learn to live with broke things. Amen? We can. You know those things around the house I don't want to do? I mean, you know, like clean out the garage. Some fix-it jobs that I don't want to do. I can learn to live with it. And it doesn't bother me a bit. I can step over the junk in my garage just that quick and not even think about it, you know. See, that's calloused. I'm talking about a peace. Don't be calloused to things that are broken in your life. Search for that peace of, God, I'm where you want me to be, doing what you want me to do. That kind of peace. And if your peace is disturbed, we need to do something about it. You need to do something about it. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about when you get mad. I'm not talking about when you get hurt. I'm not talking about when you get tired. Okay? I'm talking about when your peace is disturbed, your spiritual peace. You can be mad and angry and upset at something and still have spiritual peace about it. Do you know that? You can. I'm talking about as you evaluate, as you look, and as you begin to serve that peace. You should have a peace that things are right. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And when you don't have that peace, be bold enough to change. Bold enough to change. Verse 14. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, then you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. That sounds kind of tough, doesn't it? Shake the dust off your feet. Comes from the old practice of Jews who would go through cities, Gentile cities. They'd come out on the other side. They'd take off their shoes and they'd shake the, beat them together and knock the dust off their feet, But what it represented is a washing of your hands, I just back off. I forsake it. I'm done with it. I'm not going to waste my time here anymore. And there comes a point, okay? There comes a point where you don't need to waste your time anymore. Did you know that? You don't need to waste your time. Time is too precious. We have a lot of sacred cows in religion, don't we? A lot of sacred cows. Things that you just don't touch because, as I said earlier, we've always done it that way. Translations of the Bible. Did you know there are people who have introduced at our association that we should study, we should only preach and study from the King James Version of the Bible? And they set up so pomp and proud when they say that. Baloney. And I say that with a loving Christian heart. You know, a translation is a translation. And if you're using the King James today, you're actually using the New King James. I actually preach from the New King James. Okay? The 1611 is the King James. And you want to do some fun reading? I've got one in my office and I've tried to read it and I think, whoa! The these and the thous that we complain about in the King James are nothing compared to the 1611 King James. I can't even recognize some of the words in that baby, But now, don't get me wrong. If you use the King James, wonderful. Wonderful. That's not a problem. But don't condemn others for using a different translation. Okay? Amen? You see, there are some, and I've told you this before, I preach out of the New King James, and the reason that I do is because people were coming up to me and saying, Brother Doug, I just don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. These and the thou. I said, hey, get you a New King James. Get you something you will read. Because I don't care what you have, if you never read it, it's not going to do you any good. Okay? It's not. So I wound up moving to the New King James to kind of encourage that, people to get into the Word of God. Because listen, if you never get into the Word of God, you don't hear from God. Okay? This is our roadmap. Anyway, be bold enough to shake the dust off your feet when things you're doing are not working. Forsake it. Turn from it. Go a different direction. Sometimes we're just afraid to change because we're afraid of the unknown. We've never done it that way before. We're afraid of being looked down upon by our peers. I've heard people make the statement, well, what do other churches think about us? I don't care. I care, number one, what God thinks. Okay? Please don't get me wrong. I don't say that to be disrespectful about other churches. But I do believe in the local church. Okay? And I believe God leads the local church. Right? And it doesn't scare me within the local church to try new things and do new things. Not at all. Sometimes I think we're afraid of failure. We'll get into this in a minute, but everything you do doesn't work out all the time. Sad part is not trying something new. Sad part is never trying anything. Right? You got to be willing to be bold enough to step out and change of those things in your life that aren't working. Whether we're talking about a church or whether we're talking about you as an individual. Those things that aren't working in your life, it's time for a change. Number five. It does not always work. Matthew, in chapter verse 15, he said, "Assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you." What is he talking about there? Those that you tried and failed, and they rejected you. He said, "Shake the dust off your feet and move on." He said, "I'll take care of them after that." Listen, everything that you do will not always be a flying success, right? That's just the way it is. But when you are rejected, you have to remember that they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus Christ, okay? I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 13 of the different soils. The sower went out to sow, and some of the seed fell on the wayside. Others fell on stony places, others in the thorns, and others on good ground. Well, there was three out of the four that didn't work out so well. But there was one here, the good ground here, that it sprung up. The seed sprang up and it brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Does that mean you're going to be successful 25% of the time? No, it doesn't. But you just remember this. When you do hit on that one area of success, it's worth the failures. Okay? When you lead that one individual to Christ, after witnessing to 20 that turned their back on you, you just know that 20 was worth going through to get to that one. You won't always be a booming success, but God does expect your effort, okay? And His word will not return to Him void. You will have your successes. Be bold enough, sharp enough to know that everything you do is not going to work out great, but you're serving the Lord, and you're serving for His honor and for His glory. Then finally, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Understand, God expects you to be wise. That word wise means intelligent, prudent, sensible, understanding, reasonable. Okay? He says, be as wise as serpents. You ever wonder why he used that word serpents here? The book of Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, he said the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. I want to tell you what, we have an enemy. We have an enemy. That enemy is Satan and his demon angels. And you know what? They do not like us. We have a responsibility to be wise enough to evaluate our individual lives, to evaluate what we're doing as a church, to evaluate what I'm doing as a pastor and what Sunday school classes are doing and every aspect of the church. We have that responsibility. That is wisdom. We have a responsibility to make those evaluations honest, taking a hard, honest look for the way they really are. We have to be wise in search of that peace, understanding that that peace is going to be present when we're where God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do. And when that peace is not present, we've got to be wise enough to change. To change. adjust and do it differently. We've got to be wise enough to know that everything that we do may not be a booming success. But we've got to be wise enough also to never, ever quit. Amen? These are actual directions given by Jesus Christ to His disciples as He's sending them out. So, we can take this whole first part of chapter 10 and we can look at it and we can apply it to us if we're going to be a disciple of Christ. That's how real it is. And do you realize it's just as applicable today as it was back 2,000 years ago when Jesus said these words? If we're going to be a disciple, Jesus says, here's how. Here's what I want you to do as you go out. Let us make that commitment. And let us ask the question, is it broke? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But folks, if it is broke, be honest enough to identify it and say it's time for a change. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today's the day. Jesus has brought you here. You're not here by accident. Jesus has brought you here, giving you this opportunity to receive His salvation. You see, you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you, that means me, that means everybody. And because we're sinners, we're in need of forgiveness or a pardon. Do you realize that's why Jesus died? He died to pay for your sin so that you could have pardon. So that you could be excused, so that you could be forgiven of that sin. And He says, whosoever believes in Me will not perish but have everlasting life. Right here this morning, you can be saved. You can claim your eternal home of heaven today by calling upon Jesus for salvation. If you've never done that, I ask you, please, as we have this invitation, will you come forward? If you're here today and maybe it's time for another change, some things just aren't working, okay? Maybe it's time for a renewed commitment. Maybe it's time to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Maybe it's time to join this church. Maybe it's just prayer time. Whatever your spiritual need is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, be wise enough to do something about it. Our Father in heaven, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the day. Thank You for Your precious word that is just so filled with knowledge and wisdom. Lord, as we continue our study of discipleship, we pray that Lord, You will examine our hearts and our lives. Show us those things that need not be present in our lives. Show us those areas that we're just wasting time. And Lord, reveal to us the right areas that we do need to be spending our time in. Thank You, Lord, for giving Your life upon Calvary for our sins. We pray that Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.